Soul to soul, spirit to spirit, greetings of love from Kauai, and heartfelt wishes for a joyous, fulfilling new year. We are here today to know the truth, to release the imprisoned splendor of infinite God into our daily lives. This is the prelude to our special San Diego seminar in 1988, when we will move into the consciousness of transition. Today we begin an intensive study of Joel's book, Living Between Two Worlds. In Romans 16:25, Paul refers to the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Again, at the beginning of the 78th Psalm, the psalmist says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And again in Matthew 13:34 and 35, we find these words, All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Until this mystery is understood, no human being is free to make transition. Our world will remain in bondage to ignorance, and man will continue to squander his life substance while praying to the God who does not answer his prayer. We saw this last year in Mexico, again in Colombia. We saw masses who believed in God, and yet they were exterminated by earthquakes. And repeatedly, our world shows us that belief in God is not enough. Until the mystery of God, man, and the universe is an open book, the separation between God and man will keep divine government, divine law, divine harmony, and divine protection from the human experience. Unless we know God aright, all the summit meetings in the world will fail to produce life eternal or even human survival. Way back as early as 1931, Joel was teaching the inner secrets of the kingdom of God. In 1951, while in the Seattle airport, between planes, he received a revelation which he wrote down verbatim, and it was the beginning of a book titled Between Two Worlds. That was 35 years ago. Nothing more came for 13 years. And then in 1964, the revelation came like a flood. And he wrote about it to Lorraine Sinclair, his editor. Strangely, Joel did not remain between two worlds very long after that second revelation. On June 17, 1964, he moved into one world. and Lorraine edited many of his last tapes into the 1967 Letters to Students. Then again in 1974, she completed assembling the material into the book now titled Living Between Two Worlds. More than any book that Joel ever wrote, his greatest teaching was his own transition. While the world struggled in war and lived under the shadow of a nuclear missile buildup, Joel quietly obeyed the Father within. In a world where men waited for the second coming of Jesus Christ, Joel proved that the omnipresence of Christ within every man was established before the world began, and was and is the only true salvation of mankind. Joel's human life was a preparation for transition, both his and ours. He appeared in the world of flesh, but he lived in the invisible world of spirit. He walked with us in our world of good and evil, but he accepted only the one perfect power of God. In a world of birth and death, he acknowledged only the one eternal life without beginning or end. In the world of time, where men die, Joel found the eternal Christ, the eternal Christ mind, the eternal Christ body, and the original divine creation. In the perishable world of electromagnetic waves, atoms, and heartbeats, Joel discovered the perfect deathless life of spirit. How many of us know Joel's secret? How many of us really know what enabled him to demonstrate the life and power of Christ while Antichrist held most of our world in bondage? Joel found the pearl of great price. He learned how to let infinity work for him. And for that pearl, he sold his mortal life. With infinity as his guiding light, he made the mystical journey between two worlds. Actually, it was a journey between two selves. By accepting his infinite self, he changed worlds. His life took on the qualities of infinity. Gradually, infinity revealed to him that human life is like a cosmic Xerox. World thoughts duplicate divine thought and present imitation selves in an imitation world, which is not the kingdom. In our Xerox world, perfection appears as imperfection. Soul senses appear as five limited human senses. Perfect divine qualities are fragmented into the appearance of good and bad qualities. Even perfect spiritual man is Xeroxed into a twofold creature with a temporary lifespan. Joel made many fabulous discoveries. right where the cosmic Xerox appeared. He discovered that infinity is always working, untouched and unconditioned by all seeming imperfection. Right where material imperfection appears, infinity is always maintaining spiritual perfection. The world of illusions in time, space, distance, and three-dimensional matter, including the illusion of age, deterioration, and death, do not change the four-square creation, where infinite spirit always remains ageless, whole, immaculate, and alive. As Joel looked through the finite imitation world to the perfect infinite creation of God, he became aware that man does not become spirit. Man does not become spiritual. Real man already is spirit. And the person up front, called Joel, was clearly seen by him as a shell. An outer instrument for the real Joel. The invisible infinite eye, standing in his permanent infinite eye, Joel was able to walk the middle path between the finite world of illusion and the infinite world of reality. Five or six Christ principles form the nucleus of Joel's teaching and of his life. You know them by heart as well as you know the palm of your hand, but it is good for us to review them. The nature of God, the name of God, the nature of error, the nature of man, the nature of the universe, and the nature of prayer. With these Christ principles, Joel made his transition, as we shall. Number one, the nature of God is infinite spirit, infinite power. Only spirit exists. No other power than God exists. God is not a greater power over a lesser power. God is the only power. There is no second power. Number two, the name of God is I. And because God is infinite, I is infinite. Because God is one, there is one I. Infinite, eternal, unopposed. The I of God fills infinity and eternity and is indivisible forever. Number three, the nature of error. God, the only creator, never created evil. Therefore, evil and error are non-existent and non-power. All matter is a graven image within the carnal mind, a suggestion, a temptation without divine law, without divine substance or harmony. Error is never a personal condition. Persons do not cause their problems. Persons are victims. Error is not overcome by resistance, but by knowing the one infinite power of God is the only power. And therefore we nothing-eyes all error. Number four, the nature of man. God is individual being, the invisible substance of all that we see as form. I within every man is God. Man is incorporeal spirit, just as God is, and indivisible from God. Therefore, we must impersonalize person. You are never looking at persons. You are looking at spirit through a glass darkly, and you are calling it persons and things. The spirit of man and God are one. Never separated, never two. Distance is a false division. Human birth is not the beginning of life. Apart from God, there is no life. And there is no power. There is nothing for God to heal. Neither sin, disease, nor death. Your name is I, and I am spirit, incorporeal, eternal, unconditioned, never separate from the perfection of God. Number five, the nature of the universe. This world is a cosmic concept, a mental imitation of spiritual reality. In the world, we deteriorate, we decompose. In the incorporeal spirit, we are infinity, and we inherit eternal life in a spiritual body that never ages, never deteriorates, never decomposes. Because spirit is all, the material world is a composite of illusions. All within the universal carnal mind, called devil in the Bible, and transferred subliminally from this universal devil or carnal mind to the mortal mind of man. Number six, the nature of prayer. True prayer is silence. Through meditation and soul awareness, we tabernacle with our infinite I identity. We live in it and touch the fullness of God. We wait upon the still small voice, which is the will, the substance, the activity of infinity, flowing through us into divine manifestation. Literally, infinity lives itself as us. And only when the infinite spirit of truth flows in you, as you, is the spirit of the Lord upon you. This is the healing consciousness of grace. Your human self is replaced by your infinite self. And God's glory expresses its perfect life as you. We come now to the most revolutionary revelation ever given to the world by Jesus Christ. Call no man your father upon the earth. Call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father. Remember that. For one is your father. The infinite one is your father, which art in heaven. Now, in this startling statement, Jesus explodes the myth that we are finite mortals, born in the womb of woman. He reveals that real man is infinite and was never born. His own survival and reappearance after crucifixion was a demonstration. Wherever infinite I is realized, death is impossible. And to comprehend the magnitude of this Christ truth is vital to your illumination. And to do this, we must touch the level of soul. We must close our eyes and ask ourselves, what does Jesus mean? And we do that now. We listen. What does Jesus mean? Call no man your father upon the earth. He is telling you that you have an infinite body which does not live inside your finite physical body. A body given to you by your infinite father. To survive, you can learn how to live in that infinite body. Now, your eyes still closed, see your human body sitting in a chair. This is the finite body in which you grew up from childhood to adulthood. The one born in your mother's womb. Jesus says, this body is not you. This body has a human father. There is another self present here, which has an infinite father, and which contains all the qualities of God. This invisible self is you. The eternal life, the infinite life, wants to express as you. But the finite you, the human you up front, has its own ego, its own will, its own way of doing things. And it has been blind to the infinite you which possesses all the qualities of God. Now let us open the door to the God you, the real you. In yourself born of human parents, accept the God you. Accept the infinite you which is the life of God. Up front, the finite human you now acknowledges the infinite self that you have ignored for so long. Now give weight to your new understanding. Lower the thinking process in your human self. Lower your five sense activity. Shut off your human senses to the world. create a vacuum without thought. By the stillness of your finite brain, you are inviting your infinite self, your God self, to fill the vacuum with divine thought, with divine substance, with divine consciousness. And as your ability to do this deepens, your finite consciousness up front will submerge, and the infinite consciousness of your divine self will replace your limited human self. The seat of your consciousness will change. The born you will diminish. The never born you will increase. This gradual experience of rebirth will be fascinating proof that Christ is taking over your life. And believe me, exciting signs will follow to herald the mystical transformation. Everything changes when your soul opens the door to infinity. Wholeness replaces fractions. Reality replaces illusion. Substance replaces concept. My peace replaces the state of world thought that isolates us from infinity. All things are made new and in the perfect image and likeness of God. We are now in soul meditation. Together, we leave the world of thought. We enter the deepest silence of my peace. Let your soul listen. Deeper than any human mind can listen. Let your soul hear and feel the unfolding miracle of infinity that the world has missed. Listen to Christ within your soul. I am the Spirit of God within your soul. If you wish to make transition from the life that dies to eternal life, accept my spirit as your spirit, my life as your life, my identity as your identity. My name is Christ. What is your name? Say it. Say it within yourself. I am Christ, the living spirit of infinite God. In the acceptance of Christ's identity, you are opening the door to infinity. For I, Christ, in the midst of you, am the infinite Spirit of God. I am one with the infinite Father. And in your Christ identity, you are one with the infinite Father too. Now, forever. Abide in spiritual identity. Let the miracle of perfect infinity work through you as you. Trust your spiritual identity. It is undivided from infinity. It is always present. It is always omnipresent. It is always functioning under perfect divine law. When you are not experiencing that perfection, it is because your mind has fooled you into believing that you are a mortal man or woman living inside a temporary body of flesh. Your mortality is the denial of your spirit. Your spirit is the denial of your mortality. You are changing now from illusion to reality, from mind to soul, from son of woman to son of God. Before Abraham was Christ, the infinite I am. Before birth, you were the infinite spirit of God. Now, you are reborn to your own infinite spirit, the spirit of eternal life. I, Christ, within, make all things new. Whenever you open the door of your soul to Christ's spirit, as your own true eternal identity, then I, Christ, enter your consciousness to sup with you, to bestow your inheritance, to lift you above the illusions of mortality, to fill you with the limitless blessings of my infinite Father. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled or afraid. Who are you? You are the infinite Spirit of God, Christ. You are the Son. You are the living Father within. You are infinite I. What else is present beside the infinite Spirit of God? What else is present beside the infinite Spirit of you? Nothing. In this conscious union with God, as the infinite I am, you have the perfect pearl. You have the secret of eternal life. The secret of an imperishable body. The secret of immortality without end. Spirit is all. And that spirit, I am. We stand now on this holy ground. Let us keep it pure in our consciousness. Let us discard all that is not my spirit. For infinite spirit I am has no opposite. Infinite I is your name eternally. We are now in a position to realize our release from the world mind. Spirit has no physical form. I am incorporeal spirit, incorporeal Christ, infinity without mortal form. Do you see that distant star in your consciousness? Infinite eye is there. Can you feel the tomorrow that has not yet touched the world? And all the tomorrows that the world is waiting to experience, infinite eye is already there. Everywhere, in and out of time, I am. Everywhere in and out of space, I am. There is no time in I. There is no space in I. There is no material activity in I. We are emerging from the sense of body which has imprisoned us since the moment of human birth. Oh yes, you can continue to see the body there, but let infinity function itself, and that body will move under divine law. Don't let the glands of that body and the heartbeats of that body and the brain of that body be you. Don't dig your own grave. Step out of the tomb. Come forth, Lazarus. Come into infinite eye. Know yourself. Be yourself. How can you love your Father supremely if you do not love the infinite eye of God, which is your Father? In this realization of oneness, we step out of the prison of body. And we see that all of the ills of the body are as illusionary as the body itself. We are looking at pure spirit everywhere, whether it appears as a mountain, a river, a star, the sun, a galaxy, or a human form. We are unconfined, we are boundless, we are spirit. And in this consciousness, there is no room for a human mind with human thought. We rest in the soul of God, in the perfection of God, in the divine harmony of God, in the allness of God. We stand on the sands of the sea, we stand in infinity. We stand in the seamless robe of oneness. We stand in the rainbow, the infinite perfection of the One. Transfiguration from finite self to infinite I takes us out from between two worlds into the infinite world of my Father, the kingdom. We live in the kingdom of one, and all time ceases to be. For all time is now. In the eternity of now stands infinite I, free forever perfect forever. And the knowledge of this perfection in your soul lifts you above the evils and errors that appear in the finite world. Yes, even as form appears in the finite world, when you stand outside the finite world in infinite eye, the power of infinity releases you from the ills of the world. Infinite Eye is the secret place of the Most High. Can Infinite Eye be imperfect? Do you see how imperfection is your acceptance of a finite I? You must look through every imperfection as the lie about God, the lie about infinite I, the lie that infinite I is not all. And when you look through and know that infinite I is all, then you know that imperfection can only be an appearance in the carnal mind. And if you patiently stand in infinite I, it will reveal itself as the Immaculate Sun, even where the form appears. The consciousness of grace flows out of infinite I-ness accepted and lived in as your daily self. The self that has no beginning, the self that is not evolving, a self that never was born, a self that never went through the stages of infancy and puberty and adolescence and finally adulthood, a self that can never be older than infinite I. This is letting infinity be you. One thing you will discover about Infinite I is that it is just as easy to become used to Infinite I as it was to become used to finite me. The old thought patterns, the old habits of finite me were simply a repetition day in and day out of that which was not the truth. And the same repetition day in and day out of that which is the truth is going to overshadow the imperfections of finite life. Infinite I, the one self, is God in man, God infinite everywhere. And when you know this truth, you are free. Let us hold the purity of infinite I in our daily lives. You will feel the slow, exciting emergence of a you that breaks the bounds of limitation. There will be in you a quiet upsurge of joy. Walking on the threshold of ecstasy as you feel the old imitations of mortal life, slowly falling as if the trumpets were blowing in full force, the seven trumpets of truth, and the walls of Jerusalem, the walls of the old consciousness, were falling down. This is an experience, a growing experience, a real experience. It comes on this earth while you walk in the appearance of form. It says, I am making all things new. I am you. I am being the self of God, the Father within, and I am emerging into this world to make it your heaven on earth. You will feel and know this truth, and from it will come confidence, unshakable faith, knowledge. Infinite I is being reborn within my consciousness. I am learning to be the God-man, the God-self, the perfect image and likeness of my infinite Father. Is this not the Christ teaching? Then how can it fail? We live between two worlds when we still have a finite world and an infinite world. We move into one world when we know that only the infinite universe is here. And by living in infinite I, we refuse to live in the imitation world or the imitation self. You cannot take your neighbor out of finitude until you take yourself out of it. And when you do, lo and behold, you find you are not accepting the finitude of your neighbor. It comes after you begin to feel infinite I am. Then who is your neighbor? Infinite I. You never had a neighbor. Infinite I is everyone you're looking at. Infinite I is all that you call mortality in this world. And it is I. The undivided self emerges. We'll pause in a moment, but hold on deeply to the glory and the truth of infinite I. It is salvation, the real salvation. The birth of God in man, realized, understood, lived in, accepted, indomitable. And that is your name, your identity. We are one infinite I. Blessings. Blessings of the infinite I.